right, folks, thank you so much for being here. What a great crowd here for a soul-winning training. This is exciting. I know that the fruit of this is going to be people saved, so I'm looking forward to seeing what God does as a result of this. Before Brother Paulie comes, if you have one of these white pieces of paper, would you take it out? Some of you already filled it out, and that's okay, but if you don't have one and would like to look at one as I go over it, would you raise your hand? I've got a few men who will be glad to give you one. They're going to pass these out here. I do want to take just a moment to go over this sheet with you. It says on the top, reach Fort Worth, find your place. And I do believe that every member of Worth Baptist Church should be a minister. Every member of Worth Baptist Church should have something that they're doing to reach our community. And we've tried to open up a lot of avenues for you so that you can find your place. Not everybody can come Saturday morning at 10 o'clock. We want to give you an opportunity to use your giftings, to use what God has given you to do, so that you can make a difference here in our community. Now, notice at the top, there's a place for you to fill out your information, put your name, your email. We like to communicate by email. If you don't communicate by email, that's fine. We'll be glad to call you. But your ministry leader, whatever ministry you sign up for, outreach ministry, will be in contact with you one way or the other over the next 7 days, all right? I just want to read this paragraph here. During the next 10 weeks, we'll open up several avenues to serve our community and give out the gospel. Some outreach opportunities will be weekly. Some will be special community events. Pick as many opportunities as you like. More information about each opportunity is on the back of the page. And so we'll give you just a few more specifics about whichever one of these you're interested in. As you sign up for these, we'll take the sheets, and we will get back to you this week about when your ministry starts, where you meet. Not every one of these ministries will meet here at the church. So you'll need that information. That's why we need you to fill out one of these sheets. Some of you are saying, I can't be at this opportunity every single week. That's okay. Many of you are going to go out of town for spring break. You'll be out of town a few of the weeks. If you can be there the majority of the time, go ahead and sign up. We'd love to enlist you and use you as you have the opportunity. Now, a few of these weekly outreach opportunities are self-explanatory. Saturday morning, house to house. We've been doing that for years. We've got a great group that come out every Saturday to knock on doors. We're opening up that same opportunity on Thursday evening. So if Saturdays doesn't work for you, we'll be here Thursdays starting March the 17th. And we need you to sign up if you're going to be here so we'll know how many to prepare for. We're excited about this. We've got a community college located half a mile from our church that has 8,000 commuter students every day. Can you imagine that? 8,000 commuter students. And we need to get on that campus with the gospel of Jesus Christ. During the next 10 weeks, we're going to. We have some opportunities to reach those that come in the mornings. We're going to hand out donuts and coffee. And then in the afternoons, those that are coming for evening classes, we're going to be there handing out refreshments, handing out literature. Again, this is a very simple operation. We'll be giving snacks to people. People like snacks. And it'll give us some opportunities to talk with them and be nice to them and be a blessing to them and show them that our church cares about that college and about them. We're really excited about this next one, the Ladera Palms apartment complex. You've heard me talk about this for weeks and weeks. Most of the refugees that come into Tarrant County are going to be at the Ladera Palms apartment complex. Literally, God has brought the nations with that half a mile of our church. So we're going to set up a soul-winning station there. We're going to give away some refreshments, some bottled water. We're going to set up under a picnic table there by a tennis court, and we're going to talk to whoever will come and talk to us. We'll try to win people to Christ. I hope that'll open it up to a bus route being started there and a great number of those people coming to our church. That's what we're praying towards. Danny Medford is going to lead that ministry up for us, and we're excited about that. Then a nursing home outreach, Joe and Madeline are going to be going the first, second, third, and then if there's a fifth Sunday of the month to area nursing homes. We need singers, people that can give testimonies. If you can love on elderly people, we could use you at those nursing home outreach. Then good news clubs, we've talked a lot about that. That's elementary Bible clubs that meet after school at our public schools. Those are 3 and 6 week clubs. They don't meet indefinitely, so it'd be a very limited commitment you'd be asked to make. If you work in a children's Sunday school class, you like working with kids, you would be fantastic at a good news club. And of course, teen visitation. Some of these special community events we're really excited about. Saturday, March the 19th, we're going to be at the Forest Hill Community Easter Egg Hunt. There are going to be hundreds of kids from this community there. We're going to hand out bottles of water and invitations to Easter. They were thrilled that we were going to be there. Said those kids are going to eat so much candy, they're going to need some bottled water. So they were happy to have us. And we're excited about this, too. Box lunch for teachers and faculty at Carter Park Elementary and ODY at High School. Odia Wyatt has 196 faculty members. Carter Park has just about that many. We're going to take a nice box lunch from Jason's Deli over there with an Easter invitation. They said that's fine. We're going to invite these teachers to come to church Easter Sunday. Now, if I didn't have a church I was going to on Easter Sunday and someone came to my school, to my place of work, and got me a nice box lunch and said, we'd love to have you at our church, I might just stop in there. I don't know about you. That's a great opportunity. Donuts and coffee for Fort Worth school bus drivers. All of the South Fort Worth bus drivers park their car in the TCC parking lot. Hundreds of cars every single day are there. We're going to get there early in the morning, if you like early mornings, early in the morning with donuts and coffee. And we're just going to talk to people about Jesus if we can and be a blessing. And then the Brickworks Festival. If you're an artist, photography, art, pottery. We've got a lot of very artistic people in our church. We're going to be setting up a booth at the Brickworks Festival, Art in the Park. This is in Kennedale. It'll be a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We'll sell some pieces from our church. We'll hand out water, get to know people, okay? So that's just a short overview of some things we're going to be offering over the next 10 weeks. If one of these God speaks to your heart tonight and says, I need to be a part of this, what we want you to do is fill out this form. Put it in the offering plate when it comes by during the evening service, or put it at the desk at the Evangelism Center in the foyer so that we can have your information and get you enlisted and let you know what time those ministries begin and where they start. We are excited to have Brother Paulie here. Didn't he preach a great message this morning? The Lord used it, and it was so wonderful to see those souls saved, and we're excited about hearing from him tonight as well. And we're going to pray, and then Brother Paulie is going to come, and he's going to teach us a little bit about soul winning today. Father, we do thank you for the great morning we had. Thank you for saving souls. Thank you for the powerful Bible message we heard. Thank you for the potential of a 10-week outreach program in which many of our people would sign up to take the gospel to our community. Lord, I just want to take a moment to beg you, to ask you, Lord, would you make your name great in South Fort Worth through the people of Worth Baptist Church over the next 10 weeks? We pray that souls would be saved, that open doors would begin in the Ladera Palms Complex and on the campus of TCC South, and that, Lord, by the time this 10 weeks is over, South Fort Worth will know our church cares, that we love them, and that we will have a host of people saved, baptized, and following you as a result. Help us now as we hear a little bit more about soul winning. All of us could be better at giving out the gospel. So, Lord, speak to our hearts, stir us up, give us some tools we can use. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brother Paul.
To tell you, I am impressed with how many people are here at this hour. Usually you announce a soul winning training, a handful of folks show up. And so I don't know if your pastor promised you donuts or what he did to get you here, but this is great, wonderful. And especially on the day you lost an hour's sleep last night and we cut into your Sunday afternoon nap. And so thank you for coming. It's wonderful. I've enjoyed being around today, and I'm so excited about this special campaign and all these gospel initiatives you're launching, and excited to hear what the Lord is going to do. Now, we're going to do a couple of things, and you got to participate, all right? So if you don't participate, then you get called to come to the front and participate in front of everybody, which is a lot of fun. And so here's what we're going to do. I need everybody to get a partner. So some of you already seated with somebody. You want to stay with them. If some of you would like to get away from your husband or wife right now, this is your opportunity, all right? But you've got to get a partner, and no one can be alone. So I'm going to give you just about 30 seconds. If you need to look around, make sure nobody around you is by themselves, and find somebody. If you just stand, if you don't have a partner, then maybe you can spot anybody else that's looking for one. That might help just a little bit. You can have three. It'd be better if you only had two. So if you can get it where there's just two in your group, you'll know why in just a moment. That would help. Let's do it this way. Is there another man or young man that needs a partner somewhere? You got a partner? Good, very good. Is there another man or young man anywhere that needs a partner? Anyone? I'm looking. Right back here, we got one. Anybody else? Is there another gentleman in the room that needs a partner here? Anyone? You do? Do you mind going right back there to the back, right in front of the sound booth? He's sitting there by himself looking lonely and waiting for a friend. All right, so that's good. Anyone else? Is there a lady or young lady that needs a partner? Would you wave at me anywhere? Don't want to embarrass you, but I want to be sure everybody's got someone. Very good. And now look at your partner, would you please? Everyone stare at them for just a moment. Is there anyone that would like to change their partner at this time? That's bad, isn't it? All right. Now, what I want you to do is take your Bible and open it with me to the book of Acts. The book of Acts, chapter number 26. I love the book of Acts. It is a book of action. And it is a book of the actions of a Spirit-filled church. Aren't you glad you're a part of a Spirit-filled church? And there's no end to the book of Acts because there's no end to the work of the local New Testament church in this age. And we're to carry on with the gospel ministry until the Lord Jesus comes for us and calls for us. And so you would find our place here in the continuing work of the Lord Jesus. When you come to Acts chapter number 26, you come to a fascinating passage. I'm going to ask you to get a pen out if you have one, if you can find something to write with, something to write on, because I'm going to give you a list. And if you want to make it in your Bible, that's great, because I'm just going to walk you through the passage. Or if you want to do it on another sheet of paper, that's fine too. But I hope there are things that you'll remember. And everything I'm going to say, I'm going to give to you from this one chapter. Then I'm going to have you do something with your partner here in just a moment. Acts chapter number 26 is the record of the Apostle Paul standing before King Agrippa. Now, listen to me just for a moment. There are moments in life when God gives you divine appointments. How many of you believe in divine appointments? I believe it. I told you about that young man this morning. I believe God put me on that airplane next to that young man in that seat for a reason. I told him that. Traveling, I'm looking all the time for divine appointments. You ever wonder, why does somebody pull up next to you at the gas station? Why does a particular waitress wait on you at the restaurant? When you bought a house, you say, well, we picked this house. Did you pick that house? Or did God give you that house so that you'd have those neighbors and they would have you as a neighbor? Why did God put you on the job where you are? Why are you in the school where you're enrolled? See, I think the Lord's at work through His people in all those details and all those affairs. Why are you a member of this church? Why did God put it on your pastor's heart to have this special emphasis for the next 10 weeks? See, I think the Lord's in all of it. And what you got to do is you got to find your place in God's program. Now, everybody has a different ministry, but everybody has the same message. Let me repeat that. Everybody has a different ministry, but everybody has the same message. Some of you are going to be in nursing homes. Some of you are going to be in hospitals. Some of you are going to be on the college campus. Some of you are going to be dealing with commuters that park their cars. That's wonderful. You got different ministries, but everybody has the same message. And the beautiful thing is, the message has not changed since the Apostle Paul gave it. When I think of Paul, I think about a preacher standing up on Mars Hill and thundering forth the Word of God. Don't you? But it's interesting, when you read the book of Acts, many of Paul's messages were not given to large crowds. They were given to individuals. I personally think we have made a terrible mistake in our churches by thinking we're going to evangelize an area by having church services. Now, I'm for church services. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, revival meetings, mission conference, you be here. It's wonderful. And this is that kind of church. But the Great Commission never said, open the church doors and let all the lucky sinners come find you. The Great Commission says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Which means the real work of the church is not done within these walls, it's done outside of these walls, and it's not done by a guy like me or like your pastor, it is done by every believer. And see, for years we had this idea that someday some evangelist would blow through town and set up a big tent and preach and everybody would get saved. Can you imagine what the day of Pentecost must have been like? That'd been a great day, wouldn't it? Let's take that just as a model for a second. What if today we had 3,000 people saved in the city of Fort Worth? Would that be great? Dr. Barber, what'd you tell me today? The greater Metroplex area. How many people? 9 million people or something? 7 million people? That's a lot of people. Can you imagine how long it would take to evangelize 7 million people, 3,000 souls at a time? Just ponder that a moment. The current population on earth, if we saw 3,000 people saved every day in great gospel meetings, it would take more than 5,000 years to evangelize the current world population. How many of you know we don't have 5,000 years? Look, Jesus is coming soon. All right, so I got a crazy notion. Let's imagine that me, Scott Pauley, I say this year, I'm personally going to win one soul. I'm going to find a sinner, and I'm going to lead him to Christ, and then I'm going to disciple him, and I'm going to teach him how to do the same thing with somebody else. Let's imagine that this year, that's all I get done. For a whole year, 12 months, I win one man. Somebody says, well, that's good, but you're not making a real dent. Wait a minute. Then let's imagine the second year that he and I together team up, and we say, this year, we're each going after one. So next year, 2 becomes what? Good. I know this is a very, very smart class, all right? So the next year, the four of us say, we're all going to go after somebody. And that year, the four of us each reach one person. 4 becomes, the next year, 8 becomes, the next year, 16 becomes, the next year, 32 becomes, I'm going to stop there, all right? Sorry to bend your brains. Did you know that the current world population, that's all hypothetical, but if it happened just that way, you could evangelize this world in 35 years. Now, I know that everybody you speak to is not going to get saved. And I know that everybody that gets saved is not going to live like they ought to live and become another soul winner like they ought to. But I'm simply saying to you, if we did it Jesus' way instead of ours, we could evangelize this world in our generation. Now, I'm going to tell you something. There is no telling what kind of impact a church like this could make if every member was speaking to people everywhere they went about the Lord Jesus. I'm telling you. Now, you got a great pastor, and he preaches great Bible messages, and if I were living in this city, I'd be in this church, and I'd be here to hear him preach. But you know as well as I do, there's a lot of people that are never going to come into this church to hear him preach. But they would listen to you tell your story. Now, I bring you to Acts 26 for a reason, because in Acts 26, Paul's just telling his story. Look at Acts 26, verse number 1. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Let me just say right up front, you don't need permission, you have a commission. So you don't have to wait for somebody to say, would you tell me about Jesus? You have a command from Jesus to tell others about him. But Agrippa says, thou art permitted to, and I want you to underline these three words, speak for thyself. Would you underline that? Speak for thyself. Would you say those words with me, please? Speak for thyself. Let's say it this way. Speak for yourself. Ever hear somebody say that? Speak for yourself. Now, how many of you know that the gay and lesbian crowd, they're speaking for themselves? And the abortion crowd, they're speaking for themselves. The world's standing up, ranting and raving. The politicians, they're all speaking for themselves, aren't they? I want to ask you, where are the Christians that are speaking for themselves? This is the greatest moment in the history of the world to be alive. I believe that. I believe this is the hour for the gospel. You saw those people get saved this morning. Look, there's millions more like them out there. They're everywhere. You know what they're waiting on? They're waiting on some Christian to speak for yourself. And so what I want to show you is I want to show you in Paul's example how Paul just shared his testimony. See, I believe something. I believe that next to the scriptures, the most powerful witnessing tool you have is your own testimony. I'm convinced of that. Here's the beautiful thing. And by the way, I believe you should memorize the scriptures. I believe you should carry gospel literature. I think you should be ready to share the word of God. But the beautiful thing about a testimony is you don't have to invent it. You don't have to rehearse it. You don't have to practice it. You already have it. You don't have to memorize it because it's just you telling your story. And I've got to tell you, there's a lot of people that I've witnessed to through the years that would never come hear me preach, that even refused gospel tracts, did not want me to open a New Testament with them, but they would listen to me just tell my story. Because people are interested in people. And they'll let you speak out of the overflow of your own experience. And so when Paul does it, he lays out for us a pattern on how to speak for yourself. Let me show you what I mean. Verse number 1. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself, I think myself, what's the next word, church? Happy. Number 1, would you write this down somewhere? Put a little number 1 next to that first statement. If you're going to speak for yourself, you got to speak with a happy spirit. There is nothing worse than a miserable witness. Nothing. And I got to tell you, I meet some Christians sometimes and I think, my soul, if I was a lost person and met them, I wouldn't want to be a Christian either. They just look miserable. If you're going to speak about the Lord Jesus, then there ought to be a smile on your face, and it ought not be something worked up. Look, you don't psych yourself up to witness. That's not the way it works. There ought to be something real on the inside, like those disciples that said, we cannot help but speak the things we've seen and heard. Are you glad to be saved? Are you glad you're never going to hell? Your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life in heaven? Then you ought to be able to speak about that with a happy spirit. The word enthusiasm comes from two words that mean in God, in theos, in God. if anybody has reason to be enthusiastic, it's people who are in God and God is in them. So if the Lord lives in you and if you're in Christ, then it ought not be something somebody's got to pump you up or motivate you to do. There ought to be something on the inside of you that says, I want to tell everybody I can about the Lord Jesus because he's made a difference in my life. Did you know that Charles Haddon Spurgeon in his recorded sermons gave his testimony over 300 times? 300 times. Sounds like he never got tired of sharing it, doesn't it? Read through the book of Acts. See how many times the Apostle Paul gave. This is just one of the instances where he gives his testimony. But it's almost like every time he was in a hard spot. You ever been in a hard spot witnessing, didn't know what to say? You know what he did? He just shared his testimony. I got on an airplane a few years ago coming out of Salt Lake City, Utah, headed back to Knoxville. A well-dressed businessman, well-spoken, got on and sat down next to me. We struck up a conversation. I asked him about his faith, and immediately he told me, I'm a Mormon. Well, my mind immediately starts doing this. You know what I'm talking about. Trying to think now, what do they believe, and what's different, what am I going to say, and can I answer his question, what scripture is going to argue? And the Holy Spirit convicted me. Oh, it just wore me out. I remember it. The Holy Spirit said to me, stop it. Just tell him what Christ has done in your life. Tell him who Jesus is. And so, for over an hour, the man and I conversed and talked. And all I did was shared my own personal testimony, my story, wove scripture into it, but shared my faith in Christ. When we landed in Knoxville, I'll never forget it, he said to me, this is a man who grew up in the Mormon church. This is a man that was active and a teacher in it. And he said to me, sir, I have never heard the things you said to me today. Now, I learned a very valuable lesson. You know what I learned? People don't need you to debate with them. They need you to give them a happy Christian witness. Do you know why I wanted to be a Christian? You know, honestly, you know why I wanted to live the Christian life? Because I grew up in a home where my dad and mom were happy Christians. And I got around them, and it's like the measles. It rubs off on you. Now, salvation's got to be personal. It's got to be for you. But I got hungry for that kind of real Christianity, because I saw it evidenced in somebody else's life. And I want to challenge you, if you're going to speak for the Lord and give your testimony, then put a smile on your face and speak with a happy spirit and let people know it's a glorious thing to be a Christian. You know what's sad? Most people speak more for Christ the first 6 months after they get saved than the rest of their Christian life combined. People get saved, they run right out, they want to tell all their family members and friends that they got saved. Can I ask you a question? What happens to that? Where does that go? Maybe what we need to say is, Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. So number one, speak with a happy spirit. Number two, let's read on. I make myself happy. By the way, pretty strange, Paul's in prison in Rome. That's the last word you would imagine he's going to say that he's happy. I would say, I think myself miserable, King Agrippa. He says, I think myself happy. The happiness does not depend on the circumstances. It depends on Christ. I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I'm accused of the Jews. Skip down to verse number 9. I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints that I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them oft in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest, at midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. I want you to write down a second truth, would you? Number one, speak with a happy spirit. Number two, speak from your heart. You know what Paul did? Paul did not get into some doctrinal treatise, some theological discussion. He said, I want to tell you how I met Jesus face to face. Did you know the best thing you can ever say to somebody is, let me tell you how I came to know Christ? And speak out of the overflow of your own experience. Now, I want you to write this down. Would you please? There are three parts to a good testimony. Number one, there's my life before Christ. B.C., before Christ. Before I came to know the Lord Jesus. Number two, there is how I came to know Christ. And number three, there is what Christ means to me now that I'm saved. Now get those three down because we're going to do something with them in just a minute. Number one, my life before Christ. Number two, what Christ, how I came to know Christ. And then number three, what Christ means to me now that I'm saved. So you got the past before salvation. Then you got the moment of salvation. And then you've got my life now. And I'll come back to that thought. But you're speaking from your heart. Be honest with me. How many of you ever tried to witness to somebody and did not know exactly what to say? Me too. Did you know even experienced witnesses get that way? Some of you, you've been soul winning a long time. You've led a lot of people to the Lord. And you know what's amazing? Sometimes you can start rattling off your little speech and get stuck. You ever get stuck? You ever have somebody ask you a question you can't answer? You ever have somebody give you that look and you think, they're really not interested? And the accuser of the brethren starts saying to you, oh, it's not worth talking to this person. May I say to you, at that moment, that is the very time to turn the conversation back up and just speak from your heart what Jesus Christ has done in your life. Let me tell you how I do this in preaching. I go into congregations to preach, and honestly, not all of them are as warm and friendly as yours. This is an easy place to preach, very easy to preach this morning. But sometimes you get yourself in situations where it's not so easy, for whatever reason. Sometimes it's me, not the congregation at all. Whenever I feel uncomfortable, whenever I can't get into it, and you men that are preachers know exactly what I'm talking about, I always stop and I just speak about something that warms my own heart. Because here's what I've learned. I've learned that when my own heart is warm about what I'm saying, when my own heart is engaged about what I'm saying, guess what happens? Their heart gets engaged. And when you're witnessing to people, you don't want to do it on this level. Like, I'm going to match my knowledge against yours. This person believes in evolution, so I'm going to try to prove to them why evolution is stupid. No, that's not a good way to win them to Christ. Let me tell you what you've got to do. You've got to back up, and you've got to speak from your heart to their heart. And while you're doing that, you're praying that the Holy Spirit will open their heart to the gospel. I got to tell you, this young man yesterday, I didn't believe he was going to get saved. I really didn't. As a matter of fact, old me of little faith, I got halfway into giving the gospel. He started asking some pretty hard questions. 17 years old, but a very scientific mind and lots of skepticism in his voice and all that kind of thing. And I told your pastor, I said, I got into it and I just thought, well, I'm going to give him the gospel and leave it at that. And I did. I gave him the gospel. I gave him a gospel track. I said, I'm going to be praying for you. And I said to him, you need to come to faith in Christ, but that's something between you and God. I can't do that for you. And we sat there for a few moments, and about 30 seconds, he said to me, I was just sitting here wondering, when would be a good time for me to do what you're talking about? Now, you tell me, who turned his heart? The Holy Spirit did. God grants repentance and faith. It is the Lord that does the drawing. We're depending on him, but I'm telling you, if you'll speak to people from your heart to theirs, God will open their hearts. So number one, speak with a happy spirit. Number two, speak from your heart. Number three, look down to verse number 15. Notice how quickly he turns it. Verse 15, and I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. I want you to write this third truth down. Would you please, when you're speaking for yourself, speak with a happy spirit, speak from your heart. Number three, speak about him. Speak about him. I think we make a terrible mistake when we talk too much about ourselves and too little about Jesus. Did you know even sharing your experience can become a distraction? For example, sometimes when people give their testimony, they give a testimony like this. Well, you know, it was 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and it was pretty warm outside, and the birds were whistling Dixie, and I got this chill up my spine, and I just knew I needed God. And they go through all these peripheral things, all these little details about the experience, the emotion, all of that. And they almost give you the idea that if you don't have the same thing, then you're not going to be saved. When you give your gospel testimony, the common strain in all of it, the same message in everyone's, is I want to tell them about Jesus. In other words, I want to give my testimony in such a way so if this person has never heard how they can be saved, when they finish hearing my story, they could understand how they could know Christ as their personal Savior. So you weave the gospel into it. You weave the message of Christ all throughout it, but you major on Jesus. Let me give you this word of caution. Do not glorify your past sins. Some people, when they want to give their testimony, all they want to do is talk about every bad thing they've ever done. Ever hear somebody give a testimony like this? I tell you, before I got saved, I did it all. I did. I mean, everything in the book. And then they start detailing this glossary of sins that they committed. May I tell you, that glorifies the devil, not the Lord Jesus. So when you speak of Christ, your story should constantly be pointing people to the Lord who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Write this statement down, would you please? When a Christian speaks for themselves, they are always speaking for Christ. We say, speak for yourself. But remember, you never represent just yourself. You are representing the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the only means of salvation. Speak about Him. I think sometimes the mistake we make is in this. We have conversations about the wrong thing. For example, you ever start a conversation with somebody this way? Hey man, you go to church anywhere? May I just tell you, that's a dead-end conversation. I grew up in West Virginia. In West Virginia, everybody goes to church. Everybody's been saved about 4 times. Everybody's been baptized 5 times. Everybody's grandma's a preacher. Everybody is a Christian. So if I start talking about religious terms and jargon, shuts it all down. Or you meet the person that says, I'm not into church. I'm not into that. I had a bad experience in church. You ever have that happen? We ought to be having conversations not about things, but about a person. People don't need a plan. They need a person. They need Jesus. I'm sorry, but the people of this city don't need Worth Baptist Church. Oh, they will once they get saved. But what they need first is they need Jesus Christ. And that's why this church is here. So you want to introduce them to Jesus. And by the way, I love talking about my wife. I love her. I miss her. I enjoy sharing things about her. I enjoy talking about our kids. We talked about them over lunch a little bit today. I love it. May I tell you, if you love Jesus, you'll enjoy talking about it. And it ought to be as natural. Oh, sure, do you get nervous every time I witness? This is going to sound strange. I get more nervous speaking to one person than I do preaching to an auditorium filled with people. Are you like that? Are the way you're like that? It's strange, isn't it? I can stand in front of 2,000 people and preach easier than strike up a conversation with one stranger. We all have that battle. But I'm going to tell you what happens. When you start to do it, it becomes more natural all the time because you're just introducing them to the best friend you've ever had. So number one, you speak with the Happy Spirit. Number two, you speak from your heart. Number three, you speak about Him. Number four, you speak in the here and now. Now please don't miss this. To me, this is one of the most important and neglected parts of what I'm saying to you. Look at verse 22. He continues. Having therefore obtained help of God, mark this phrase, verse 22. I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none of the things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. Here's the operative phrase, I continue unto this day. Would you write this down, please? A good testimony is always present tense. If I said to you tonight, stand and give your testimony, what most people would do is they would go back 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, and tell me about an event in their life, the day they got saved. But I want to say to you, that is an incomplete testimony. Your testimony should not be past tense. It should always be present tense because God is never past tense. God is always present tense. Look, God is the eternal God. He's always in the here and now. So I want to ask you a question. Is being a Christian just a prayer you prayed 20 years ago? Or does Jesus mean anything to you today? See, when you give a testimony, you shouldn't just tell them how you got saved. You should tell them what Jesus means to you now that you are saved. Has He answered any prayer for you? Do you have peace when you lay your head on your pillow at night? Do you have a reason to get up in the morning? Do you have strength, inner strength that God alone can give on difficult days? Now look, you don't make it like it's a bed of roses and it's all perfect and I never have any problems. No, I said to this kid yesterday, I said, look, buddy, I still sin. He said, you do? I said, yeah, I still sin. I said, but it's different now because Jesus lives inside of me. And when I sin, I ask the Lord to forgive me. But I'm still His child. He said, that makes sense to me. You see, you got to speak in the present tense to people. Your testimony, when you speak for yourself, should be in the here and now. I'll give you one more. Number five, when you speak for yourself, you should always speak with hope. Look at verse 23. That Christ should suffer, that He should be the first that should arise from the dead, and should show, and I love this, light unto the people and to the Gentiles. May I tell you that we are living in a world that is in desperate need of hope tonight. desperate. And they're looking for it through political candidates and economic programs and on and on and on. What people need is the hope that is found in a risen Savior. So when you speak for yourself, you should always do it in a hopeful tone and give them hope both for eternity and for today. You see, salvation is for now as well as for heaven. And so you should give them the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ, and tell them Jesus Christ can change your life like he's changed my life. In other words, you use your testimony not to point them to yourself, but to point them to Jesus. And when you finish giving your testimony, you turn it around on them and you say, wouldn't you like to know this person I've been telling you about? And to me, it is one of the greatest means of witnessing at our disposal. I always use it at one of three places. I either begin with it, I use it somewhere in the middle if I feel like I'm struggling, or I use it at the end to draw the net. But I'm going to use my testimony. When I witness to somebody, I'm not just going over a gospel tract. I want to explain to them, I'm not selling Tupperware door to door. I'm not here telling you about a product. I'm here to introduce you to someone that made the greatest difference in my life, and his name is Jesus Christ. You are learning what it means to speak for yourself. Now, I want you to turn and face your partner just a moment. Would you please? Everybody turn and face your partner. Nobody looking at me. Gaze into their lovely eyes. Hope you picked a good partner tonight. And on the count of three, I want you to say, speak for yourself. Ready? One, two, three. With a little more enthusiasm. Ready? One, two, three. One more time. All right, now listen to me. We're going to let you do just that. I want you to get a captain. You got 10 seconds to nominate somebody, have a vote, somebody running for office. You got 10 seconds to figure out who the captain's going to be in your team. Ready? Go. Quick, quick, quick. Every team has to have a captain. Somebody has to lead the way. Good. All right, stop. Captain, raise your hand. Would you please? I want to see the captain's hand on every team. There should be somebody that's in charge. Very good. Wonderful. Thank you for your willing spirit. Captain, you're going to sit there and just listen for a moment. Partner, you're going to go first. That was bad, wasn't it? Partner, here's what you're going to do. Now listen to me. There are three parts to a good testimony. Let's review. My life before Christ. Remember that? And don't glorify sin, but you talk about being away from God and not knowing the Lord. Number two, how I came to know Christ. And that's not all the little details, but it is the gospel. I understood. Here's the way I always say it. A lady took a Bible and explained to me that God loved me. That I was a sinner, but that even though I was a sinner, Jesus Christ, God's Son, came to earth and died on a cross for my sins. He was buried and rose from the dead. And this lady explained to me that if I would put my faith in Christ and ask him to be my personal Savior, he'd do that. So I bowed my head, prayed a simple prayer, but I took God at his word. I asked Jesus to be my Savior. And that day, Jesus Christ came to live in my life. That was the greatest day of my life. All right? So in a simple way, how I came to know Christ. And then number three, don't forget this one. My life since receiving Christ. What does Jesus mean to me now that I'm saved? Now, Captain, all you're allowed to do is sit there and have a smile on your face and look at them and be pleasant. Remember, your turns are coming, all right? So don't give them a hard time. Don't say, I'm a Jehovah's Witness and I got a few questions to ask. Don't do that to them, all right? Just be nice. When I say go, the partner's going first. You go. When I say stop, you stop. All right? Don't have a long time. Ready? Go. All right, stop. How many think the person that you're with did a pretty good job? They did a good job? Very good. That's great. You know, I was conducting a session like this one time in New England with a group of young people, and a girl in the back was seated with a partner, and they started sharing their faith, found out the girl wasn't saved. She got saved sitting in that session. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? And if there's somebody here tonight without Christ, I want you to know today's the day of salvation. Now's the accepted time. Call on the Lord, ask Him to forgive your sin. Now, be honest with me. How many of you that just spoke felt a little rusty or awkward doing it? Be honest. Would you raise your hand? Listen to me just a minute. That is perfectly normal. But the more you do it, the easier it gets. The more familiar you are with just speaking about Christ, the easier it gets. That's why we're doing it in here. We're practicing on each other. I see husbands and wives sharing their personal testimony. You know, sometimes I go places and married couples have lived together for 30 years and never heard their spouse tell how they got saved. That's unfortunate, isn't it? You ought to know it, and you ought to be able to share it. Captain, it's your turn. Ready? Go. All right, stop. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord, what? It's just another way of saying, speak for yourself. Look, you have something no one else can share. It's your story. Nobody can share my story like I can share it. Nobody can share your story like you can share it, because it's your story. It's God's gift to you. It's God's tool. It's artillery in the gospel battle that we're in for the souls of men. I tell you, it's wonderful to me. I love standing up just watching people talking about Jesus. It's thrilling. Can you imagine what it must look like from heaven's vantage point when God's people scatter everywhere, talking about Christ everywhere? Wouldn't it be great if you couldn't get out in Fort Worth without somebody stopping you and talking to you about Jesus? Wouldn't it be great if people all over this town said, I tell you, I don't know what's going on over there at Worth Baptist Church, but everybody over there is talking about Christ. That's the way it ought to be in a New Testament church. And I tell you, when it starts to happen, God starts to move and work. We had a young girl get saved. Rena got saved. She didn't know much. She was rough around the edges. Teenage young lady. She got on fire for God. She sat in a session like this. We challenged people to share the Christian faith with somebody. She went home that week. And she said, you know, I'm burdened for my friend who lives in California. She Skyped him, got him on Skype. Technology is an amazing thing, isn't it? She shared her testimony over Skype, gave him the gospel. He got down on his knees in California and trusted Christ as his Savior. I want you to pause and think just a moment. If everybody in this auditorium, what a great group, but if everybody here in this session were simply to give their testimony to one person, would everybody get saved? No, but somebody would. I want you to imagine for the next 10 weeks what would happen if the workforce of this church, what a workforce, were active and aggressive and excited and enthusiastic about just speaking for themselves. I believe the Lord could use you literally to set something mighty in motion for the gospel in our generation. I'd like to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes, because I don't want to embarrass anybody, and I really don't want you to commit to something you're not wholehearted about. See, it's not between me and you, it's between you and the Lord. But I'm going to ask, and you hear me out before you raise your hand. I'm going to ask how many people would take a challenge tonight. Here's the challenge. I wonder how many people in this auditorium would commit before God with God's grace and help, and he'll help you, to share your testimony, your faith, with at least one person between now and next Sunday. Between now and next, now maybe many people, but at least one person between now and next Sunday, and you ask the Lord to use you to do that. If you will, I want you to raise your hand as high in there as you can get it and keep it up just a moment. What you're committing to do is speak for yourself. Oh, it's wonderful. Now I want you to lower your hands, and right where you sit, I want you to tell the Lord what you just told me. I want you to ask him right now, Lord, help me. Lead me to the right person. Can't witness to the wrong person. Pray for a divine appointment. Ask the Lord to fill you with the Holy Spirit, to give you wisdom to know what to say, boldness to say it. Before I close the prayer, I'd like to give you one more thing I'd like for you to ask the Lord. Would you make this your prayer? Would you ask the Lord that in the next 10 weeks, God would allow you personally to bring one sinner to Christ? Wouldn't it be wonderful if every one of us in the next 10 weeks could just see somebody saved? Just one person. They're out there, friend. Lord, I want to thank you for this great group, for their hunger, their desire. And I pray, Lord, that you might fill every one of us with the Holy Spirit, that you might put the gospel in us like a fire burning in us. Lord, that you might teach us how to speak for ourselves. I pray for this host of people who have committed to give their testimony in the next 7 days. Lord, use them. I pray with them, and we agree together in prayer for divine appointments. And I pray, Lord, that they'd see many saved over the next 10 weeks. A great multitude of people would come to Christ. Lord, I want to pray a big prayer tonight. I want to ask you that as a result of this day, this time together, this time of prayer, that there might literally be hundreds of people in heaven. Hundreds, Lord. I shall never meet them until we meet around the throne of God. But Lord, I'd like to meet them there at your feet and know that you answered our prayer and that you used your church in this city to make a mighty difference for Christ. Help us to keep our commitments. Use us for thy glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Before we go, when I was in college, I was a freshman sitting in an auditorium like this, hearing something like this about how to give my testimony. 17 years old, and I'd never really learned to give out my testimony to anybody. And I made a commitment that I'd give it every single week. And I just kept that commitment going. And as far as I know, every week of my life since that time as a freshman in Bible college, I've given my testimony to somebody somewhere. And many people have come to Christ. Listen, people can argue with my arguments. They cannot argue with what Jesus has done in my life. So as we get to TCC South and to the Ladero Palms apartment complexes and all these stations that we're opening up for soul winning, tell your story and watch what God does. Amen. Brother Paulie, thank you for that session. It's been very helpful. We've got a few minutes before the service. You've got some time to get a drink of water, do whatever you need to do, and we'll be right back in here at 6. God bless you. Thank you for coming.